This is Vectis Radio, FM 104.6.
We've got Lisa Beeney in. Afternoon, Lisa. How are you?
Hello, I'm good, thank you. Enjoying the sunshine.
Oh, it's lovely, isn't it?
Yes.
And it's been going on for quite some time as well, hasn't it?
I know.
And hopefully, you know, they did say yesterday it was going to be wet from Sunday onwards, but I've noticed it's going to be wet on Sunday, but then next week is nowhere near as bad as they thought it was going to be. So that's great news.
It certainly is.
Hey, look, this next section is going to be, and I know it's for some people it might be off-putting, and we'll explain why in a mo, but stick with us because it might be the best thing that you work out. And we're talking energy bills, your actual bill. You're breaking it down and working out just how much you're paying for X, Y, and Z. How many people out there just get the bill, pay it, don't pay any attention to it? I'm one of those. Today I'm going to be educated.
Hopefully.
It does look complicated. Is it more complicated than it needs to be?
That's difficult to say. I mean, each energy company's bill will be different. They will present it in a different way, and some of them are far more complicated. I would say the bills that people get in April will look more complicated than normal because we've just had a price rise. So you'll have two lots of energy use. You'll have how much you've used up until the price rise and then how much you've used from that price rise. So you'll end up with twice the number of lines in that section as normal. And that's where people can get a bit confused.
So normally then it doesn't, does it, would it fluctuate with a different price for each month, or is it a fixed thing, or does it depend on who you're with?
The price that you pay will vary, and each bill that you get each month will be different because the amount of energy you use during the month is different. If you pay by direct debit, you'll pay a fixed amount each month, no matter what your energy usage has actually been during that month. And the idea behind that is that it's easier to budget. So you can budget for that amount each month. Over the summer, you'll end up being in credit with them. So they'll have some of your money on account. And over the winter, that will go down. And most probably about this time of year, you'll owe them money.
But right.
Because you pay by direct debit, they won't worry about that because they know you'll make it up over the summer months.
What do you advise in that instance? Because I say, in the olden days, I remember getting a bill and paying it, whereas is it better to do that, wait for the bill to come in, or is it better to pay direct debit?
I would say direct debit because that gives you a fixed monthly payment and can help you effectively reduce your outgoings during the winter because you're evening it out over the whole year. And quite often the energy companies will give you a small discount on the amount that you pay if you pay by direct debit.
Right.
But, and there is a very big but, that gives the energy companies control and they can change that direct debit. They're meant to give you a month's notice, but they can put it up or put it down. You can phone them and you can say, I don't want you to change it, and they should put it back. Some companies you can change it yourself online, like Octopus Energy you can. So you can look at your bills, and if you think they've got too much of your money, you can reduce your payment right down and you have control of it. But that's not the case with all of the energy companies.
Okay. Just sort of, I mean, I'm going back in my mind. We used to get one through the door. You don't have to have it delivered. You don't have to, you know, chop down trees to have things now. You can, like, we've got an app. We're with Octopus.
Yeah.
And so many people are. And it's all in your app, by all accounts. So you don't have to wait for your bill to come in. It's there, and you can keep an eye on it there. Trouble is, I look at it and think, oh, it's a bit complicated. So this is where you come in. You're going to simplify it. So first of all, I mean, I'm noticing you've given me a copy of yours because I can't access mine for some reason. Now, do you have gas and electric?
No, we just have electric.
So if you had gas and electric, this would look slightly different, obviously.
It would. You'd have an additional section for the gas.
Right. Okay. Okay. So, and so I've got the bill in front of me, which is yours is 31 pages. Where do I look? Where do I start?
Okay. On this, the first bit to look at is the summary on the front. So it says on the 2nd of March what our previous balance was. And then it's really clear because it says based on our meter readings, and they've included that, they're saying how much they've charged us for electricity. And then because we've got solar panels, we also get paid for the amount that we export back to them. So we've got a credit there for export. And then it lists what we've paid to them each month during that period. And that gives them a new balance.
Okay.
So if we move on to the second page, and this is the bit that has the actual details. Now, if you have a smart meter, the meter readings should be accurate. And this is this second page where each company does it really quite differently. But the really important bits to look at are the breakdown by rate. So we have a night rate and a day rate. So lots of people on the island do, anyone who's on Economy 7. So we've just got a rate that says 6.67p/kWh.
Right.
So that's 6.67 pence per kilowatt hour. So that's one unit of electricity. So at night, we're only paying 6.67p. That excludes VAT. So when you're quoted the rates by the energy company, they'll normally quote them to you, including VAT. When you see them on your bill like this, at this point, it's excluding VAT. So here you can see that we've used 974 kilowatt hours at a rate of 6.67 pence.
Okay.
And for the day rate, it's 25.14 pence per kilowatt hour. And we've used 27.2 kilowatt hours at that rate. So that gives us a total amount that we've used. So they add that up. On top of that, you then have the standing charge for each day. And this bit will vary depending how many days in the month. But again, very helpfully here, they've told us how many days and the amount per day, which here was 59.26 pence per day. Not all energy companies list it like this. You may have the standing charge at 59 point whatever pence per day, and they'll give you the period. So they may just say from the 28th of Feb to the 27th of March, and it's then down to you to work out how many days. The other thing you might see under where we've got the consumption here, and it's actually listing the kilowatt hours, you may have a start reading and an end reading. So they may say that your meter reading was 1,027 at the beginning and 1,212 at the end. Those meter readings are quite important to look at. If they have an E after them, that means it's estimated. So they're having a best guess at how much they think you've used. And you'll get that if you don't have a smart meter and if you haven't given them meter readings.
So if you have a smart meter,
yep.
Do they have access to the actual readings, or do you have to give them the readings itself?
They have access to that.
Right.
So the way the smart meters work, every half hour they take a meter reading, and at the end of each day, then that information is transmitted to your energy supplier. There is a company that does all of the data collection for all of the energy companies, and then I say once a day they pass that information on from the meters to the right energy companies. So it's normally about a day behind that Octopus will get that information from you.
Okay, that's interesting, because obviously back in the olden days you'd have someone knocking your door and saying, I've come to read your meter, and then later on we had to do it and then send it off. But nowadays, if you have got a meter, then that all gets taken care of. You don't have to do anything.
That's all automatic if you have a smart meter.
But we can check it, I guess. We can cross-reference.
We can check it, because when you go and actually look at the meter, that's not the little display that you have in the kitchen or in your living room. That you'll have normally a white box on the wall near your consumer unit with all your fuses and things in it.
Right.
That is the actual meter. So the in-house display bit, you could unplug, put in a cupboard, and your smart meter will still work. If you have a look at that meter, it will step through and show you different readings on the display. And most of them can have up to 5 different rates set, because some of the smart tariffs now allow you to have 2 or 3 different rates for different times of the day. And you can see it will come up and say rate 1 and then give you a reading, rate 2 and a reading. And you can just double check that yourselves. You can still take meter readings yourself.
Right, okay. So you can keep an eye on it yourself.
Yep.
But obviously I would imagine it's a lot easier for you if you have that meter in place, so it's doing it all for you, so you don't have to, but you can keep an eye on it.
Yes. And it makes life so much easier and means that your bills really should be accurate. One problem that I've seen quite a bit of is if people have estimated readings. So if you don't have a smart meter, and if you're not sending in meter readings yourself, you don't know if they're underestimating how much you've used or overestimating. So they might be charging you more money than they should be. Or even worse, you could be building up a debt with them that you don't know about.
Yeah.
Because they're underestimating it. And once a year, in theory, they should send somebody around for a meter reading or get you to give them a meter reading. And at that point, you can end up with a really big bill you weren't expecting.
Mm. I would imagine that, you know, the best thing to do is, you know, don't be in that situation, because although the estimation might be spot on, it might be somewhere near it. Just say, for instance, if it's not, and you go on holiday for 2 weeks in January and you're like still paying masses, and for those 2 weeks you haven't got any heating on in your house, that could make a big difference.
It could. But we see it more where people have made changes to their heating systems, or if people have had like the old night storage heaters removed and electric panel heaters put in, you're then shifting a lot of your energy use from the night to the day. And that makes a huge difference on people's bills. And if it's estimated, in that case, you'll find that you're paying less than you should be. So it's really important to keep on top of these meter readings.
Do you know what? One thing I've got from this is, it's pretty straightforward. Why is there a stigma attached to being able to understand? I'm guessing the one thing that stands out that you look at and you think, well, what is a kilowatt? How long can I put my fire on before I burn a kilowatt? That's the one grey area that I look at and think, well, I don't understand that. All the rest seems to be common sense maths.
It is. There is a very technical description of a kilowatt hour and what it is, as to heating up a certain volume of water over a certain length of time and things. But do you remember the old electric bar heaters?
Yeah, yeah.
Each one of those bars would be a kilowatt bar. So if you have one bar switched on for an hour, that would use 1 kilowatt hour.
Right.
So one unit, and at these rates it would cost you about 26p for 1 hour to have that one bar switched on. So if you put 2 bars on, you're then using 2 kilowatts. So for 1 hour, that would cost you 52p. So if you then have those 2 bars on for 2 hours, you're now up to £1.04.
Right, okay. So I'm going to chuck a curveball at you.
Okay.
Because I'm just thinking, right, every time I boil the kettle then, if I boil the kettle and it's only me that wants a drink, but I fill the whole thing up and boil the whole kettle, and I should only boil, how much does it take to put a kettle on? Are we talking kilowatts here, or are we talking, how many times could you boil a kettle to burn a kilowatt in an hour?
Okay, most kettles are about 2.5 to 3 kilowatts. So if we work on easy maths and we say 3 kilowatts, so that would cost you, if you had that kettle on for a whole hour, that would be 78p.
Right.
So say, for example, your 3 kilowatt kettle takes 3 minutes.
Yeah.
So we can divide that 78p by 60, so that gives us 1 minute, and then we multiply by 3 to get the 3 minutes, and that will actually cost you about 4 pence to boil that kettle. Now, if you only put a third of the water in, instead of it costing you 4 pence, it would only cost you about a penny.
Right. So there's a huge difference.
There is a huge difference.
And what we should point out as well, it might sound like pennies, but when you're doing this every day, numerous times across a year, it adds up.
It does. If you put the kettle on, what, 4 or 5 times a day?
Well, if you put the kettle on 4 or 5 times a day and you fill it up each time and you only need a less than a third of it, well, I'm guessing that your bill, your energy bill, is going to be 2/3 more than it should be.
For heating that water, yes. So just doing a very, very rough calculation, if you only put a third of the water in instead of filling it up each time, you could save about £55 a year.
Yeah. That's great, isn't it? With everything else, I mean, that's just one thing in your daily routine. So that is incredible, isn't it? Is there anything else that you want to add to be careful of when, you know, looking at your bill, to be more aware of?
Yes, I'm on here, the two things to be really, really aware of are these unit rates. So when you're comparing tariffs between providers, look at these unit rates and the daily standing charge. You can totally ignore how much they say you'll pay each month, because if these unit rates are higher, or the daily standing charge is higher, especially the unit rates, then the chances are, whatever they quote you for your monthly payment, you're going to end up paying more, because that monthly payment they quote you is an approximation based on average households. It's not based on what you actually use in your house.
Do you know, you've simplified so much, and it's like when you get, like, I mean, I looked at yours and it was 31 pages, and you think, I haven't got time to look at 31 pages, but you don't have to.
You don't have to.
Because more or less all the information that you really need is on page 1 and 2. And the only time it gets complicated really is if you're an all electric house, it's less complicated, and you know, it's double the complication if you've got gas as well, but it's still all on virtually one or two pages.
Yes, certainly by the time you get to the third page, you should have been able to see all the information that you need. The other things that all energy bills have to include is the tariff that you're currently on. They have to have that printed on it somewhere. So you can see on here on the right hand side of the page, it's got the tariff name, the product type. So this is a variable tariff, which means it can go up and down.
Right.
So as you get the price increases come out, my bills will go up or down. Again, here they list the unit rates, the daily standing charge, the price guaranteed until. So if I was on a fixed tariff, that would be the date that would end.
So that's a good point to make. It says here yours is about to end on the 3rd of June. Okay, so do you, between now and then, have to do something? Do they get in touch with you? What happens? And what happens beyond the 3rd of June?
If you do nothing and you're on a fixed tariff, you would automatically go back onto their variable tariff on that date.
Right.
So they should contact you or you should contact them. So that bit there that you're looking at, the 3rd of June, is actually the export bit.
Oh, right. Sorry.
That's okay.
I was trying to help you out.
But the other thing to look at, they list here an early exit fee. So if you're on a fixed tariff.
Right.
And it says early exit fee, none. And that's near the top of page 2.
Yeah, got it.
Some tariffs will charge you, or some companies will charge you, if you want to switch tariffs. So it's worth being aware of what that is. So if you see a super duper energy company that's going to mean that you pay less, you need to make sure that you don't have an exit fee for the one that you're currently on, because it could be that the savings that you make are wiped out by this early exit fee.
It's interesting. I guess if you change that, some will take on the fee or take on the extra. Is it a bit like the internet side of things? If you were with somebody for 18 months and you got up to 16 months, you've got something to pay, but you see a deal and then you get in touch with them and they say, oh yeah, don't worry, we'll pay the excess. With that, does that no?
It doesn't happen very often, I'm afraid.
All right. One thing I've noticed is it's not as scary as I first thought. It's not so much scary. It's just it's kind of, if you don't understand it, it's quite uninteresting. But when someone explains it to you, and they look far easier to understand than they did years ago, because everything is printed out there, everything is telling you, and it's basic. It's a basic thing: product type, payment method, unit rate, night, day. Payment method again. You got, I say it's all there. You just got to, take the time and the trouble to understand it and boss it. Don't let it boss you.
Yes, and as I say, some companies make it easier to understand than others. But if people get stuck, they can give us a call and we can help them with their understand their energy bills.
Well, what's your number?
It's 01983 668 900.
Just do it again.
01983 668 900.
I just noticed a little old lady that didn't have a pen there, and now brilliant. Thank you so much for coming in and making that really, really simple. And I think the message is, don't be scared of it. You've got to pay attention to it, because you could save yourself quite a bit of money. We're not just talking pennies here, we're talking quite a few quid if you're clever. But you've got to be on top of it, and don't let it boss you. You've got to take control of it. It's really quite simple.
Yes, and look out for that dreaded E next to the readings on your bill. If that's there, that's the estimated, and you need to get that an accurate meter reading to them.
I've got to ask you, I know that there's loads of other things that are going on at the moment. We kind of run out of time, but I know that you're walking and you're raising money for the Alzheimer's Cafe and Cows.
Yes.
How's the training going?
The training's going well. I went out last Sunday and did an 18-mile loop from home with a complete, fully weighted backpack on. The last couple of miles felt hard work. I was wearing a new pair of boots, so breaking those in. So no major issues, but a couple of slightly sore patches. And I ate the next day.
Right, okay. I'm sure you'll be fully recovered for the walk, which is in May.
It's in May. From memory, I'm leaving the island on 15th of May and coming back towards the end of the following week.
And you'll be in the week before you go.
I'm
hoping.
Yeah.
So, good luck with the training.
Thank you.
And don't forget, you can sponsor. Details are on our website. Just wait for Lisa's face to slide across the screen and just click on it, and it tells you how you can donate as well. Let's raise loads of money, because it's a worthy cause. Last time we, not an estimation, it hasn't got that E by it. Apparently the figures were in excess of 4,000 that have been diagnosed with Alzheimer's on the island.
Yeah.
So there's lots of people that are walking around without a diagnosis. So that is an estimation. So there's lots more, and we need as many people to get involved as possible to raise as much money as possible, because they're doing fantastic work at the cafe in Cowes. Now, before you go, what are we talking about next month?
Well, seeing as the sun is shining, we could talk about solar panels. And some of the other grant schemes that are coming out. Because there's been some delays on a couple of them, but we're hoping to have everything up and running.
Okay. Well, that's what we're going to do next month. Thank you, Lisa, for coming in.